אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Australian born Ben Zigia, known only as Prisoner X, was just 34 years old when he was found dead in his cell in the most secure jail in Israel. Who was Ben Zigia? A spy? A double agent? Or was he a young man with too many secrets? The charges against him were never made public. But the Mossad, the much feared Israeli intelligence agency, believed he was a threat to national security. He left behind a wife, two young children, his parents and a sister. Rafael Epstein, the award-winning journalist, knew Ben Zigia when they were both involved in a Jewish youth movement in Melbourne. Rafael has written the book Prisoner, in an effort to shed light on the mystery surrounding Ben Zigia. I asked Rafael, what was his very first reaction when he found out that Prisoner X was in fact Ben Zigia?
It's an interesting story. I saw the press release for the Foreign Correspondent Program, and all it said in the press release on the Tuesday was a story about an Australian man caught up in an Israeli prison. And that was all that lodged in my mind, and I didn't contact Foreign Correspondent because other things took over. And the next morning I was making breakfast, and then out of the radio comes out the fact that Ben Zigia died and committed suicide in an Israeli jail cell. And I was really shocked and really surprised because, I mean, I sound like someone you see on the TV news. You don't expect this to happen to people that you know.
Why you were so shocked? Did you ever expecting to end up working for the Mossad? Was he the right candidate? I mean, you met him as a teenager. It's hard to assess, but from your dealing with him then.
You don't think about those things then. You think maybe they might go and live in Israel, maybe, because it's a Zionist youth movement. But no, you don't even think of people as potential soldiers or potential spies because your world view is so much more narrow. Now, having done these sorts of stories, I've met people who work for intelligence agencies. I've met people who work with classified information. So I know that they come from a really broad spectrum of life. None of them fit this sort of James Bond stereotype.
Rafael, can you please take us back in time to your youth in Melbourne and give us an insight to your involvement in Netzer, the Zionist youth movement that changed Ben's lives forever?
I was very heavily involved in Netzer's reform Zionist youth movement. It's one of the youngest. It started in Melbourne, actually. Now it's global. They're fantastic. I wouldn't be the person I am if I hadn't been a part of a youth movement. They're incredibly empowering and invigorating and addictive and invigorating, and you feel like you're part of this special secret club and no one else quite understands the world the way you do, and it feeds all of that teenage rebelliousness and coming into identity into a cause, and it gives it a structure and it encourages it, and you watch people come out of their shells and you see them come into their power and understand how they can interact as adults. So it's a fantastic environment. And in the midst of all of that, I was in year 11. Ben was in primary school, and Ben's one of the real regulars. Netzer was a huge part of my life for 10 years. So Ben was just one of a number, although he was very memorable to me.
Did he stand out at all? I mean, you said you remember him.
Look, he did. It's hard to say precisely why. When he was in high school, there was a group of kids in other youth movements, because by then he was in Hashomer Hatzair, who I was very friendly with. So there was a group of kids in his year level, and maybe 40 or 50 kids, Netzer, Habo and Hashi. I knew everyone's name, and I saw them a lot. Ben was very good friends with my Hanachim. So he was in my orbit. He'd been one of my Hanachim in primary school. So did he stand out? No. But he's bright, he's clever, like a lot of them. He plays music.
Is there any contradiction being young Jewish Australian and being part of this youth movement?
I don't think so. I don't think there's any contradiction at all. One of the reasons I wrote Prisoner X was because some of the commentary talks about a dual loyalty or a clash of loyalties. And I always felt actually that I was really lucky. I don't think there's any clash. I learnt a lot about what it means to strongly identify with something. And I think that's a really good thing.
So you felt Australian and connected to Israel as well?
Well, how can you not? Most of the people listening to this are Jewish. You know, everyone, that's what it means to be Jewish. It means that your identity is like a patchwork quilt. And you can't take one piece out of that patchwork quilt because all of those things are part of you.
Rafael, in your book, you disagree with certain allegations that have been reported in Fairfax newspapers and in Der Spiegel, reported by Jason Katsoukis and Ronen Bergman. They claim that Ben was disappointed to be given the desk job and was desperate to prove that he could do more in the field. Can you please remind our listeners what were the allegations and what did you find out?
So it's important to remember, when the ABC breaks the story about Ben being in prison, they don't describe what his alleged crime is. A few weeks later, Jason Katsoukis, who I know reasonably well, not very well, but reasonably well, and Ronen Bergman, who's a respected security journalist in Israel, they have this story. To boil it down very simply, Ben is frustrated, he flies overseas, meets someone from Hezbollah in Eastern Europe. In his attempt to turn that Hezbollah contact into a double agent, Ben makes a mistake and gives up information. What he gives up leads to the arrest of two people in Lebanon. They are Lebanese, they are double agents for Israel, and they go to jail because of the information that Ben has given up. When I wrote Prisoner X, I expected to be adding a lot of detail to that story. What was odd and surprising and something that I still don't understand, because I respect those journalists, I could find nobody to corroborate that story. I found people who I trust and whose bona fides I verified, who said that that story just was not true at all. So it's a very curious experience. Sometimes when I think about it, it's possible that both versions are right. It is possible that both versions are wrong. But Prisoner X is very much the description of walking down that hall of mirrors. When you report on espionage and classified information, it's not like a court story or a politics story or a sports story. There is no verification. It's a very different form of journalism. I went to great lengths to explain to people that I have verified everything that I found, but I want people to know as much as I can tell them about how and in what way I tried to verify that information.
So what did you find?
Look, he was a person in, not in the best of shape, perhaps, mentally. I do not know if that was what led him to make a mistake. He's in Melbourne, he's studying, he's on study leave, they're here for a year. He's doing a postgraduate business degree. I was told that he was speaking too much about his Mossad work. His Mossad work was targeting Iran. He was working from Italy. He'd travelled outside of Italy. He'd travelled to places like Iran. But from Italy, in this communications company, they're trying to find out everything they can about Tehran's military and nuclear capabilities. He's one of many. He's a small cog in a big machine. Mossad, for more than a decade, are intensely focused. They're still intensely focused on working out what Iran is doing. On his year off in Melbourne, Ben is talking to people from other countries. He's talking to someone connected to Iran, an Iranian, about what he was doing at work. I don't know if his actions were inadvertent or deliberate. I know that he tried to commit suicide before this time. I know he has some anxiety issues. I don't know, and I can never find out. Who could judge whether or not those things are connected to what he hands over, the information that he gives up, either by mistake or not. The Iranian knows what he's hearing. That information goes back to Tehran. Once Tehran starts talking about it, once they start communicating about this person in Melbourne who's in Mossad, who's giving up information, Israel knows what's going on. That leads eventually to Ben being in a jail cell at the end of January in 2010.
But he must reveal the really top secret to be shut up like that.
Well, we don't actually have anything to measure that against. We have a few. We have Mordechai Vanunu. We have a few others. We don't really know how hard people prosecuted and for what sorts of crimes. It's not like a database of people with drug offences where you can look and say, listen, the authorities do this if you do A and they hit you with this if you do B. You know, my hypothetical in the book is if he gave up the name of the company he's working for, the fact that he and another Australian are working there, and we know that that is true, the Australian's there for longer than Ben, the fact that the company's targeting Iran, that they've been to Iran, you have the names of passport users, you have the name of the company, that's a lot of information. That's enough to shut down a multi-million dollar Mossad effort with that company in Italy. Now, I don't know for sure that that's the sort of information, but even if he were to give up a few things like that to the wrong person, that could be very, very significant. You don't only get hit by your own side for being Edward Snowden or being Bradley, now Chelsea Manning. You know, this is the sort of espionage scandal, I suppose, that we are now accustomed to. It's very possible he gave up some small details, and that could lead to a lot of trouble. We know that he was entertaining the idea of a plea bargain just before he killed himself. It's very hard to know precisely how much of his work he's exposed to others.
Raphael, you've written the book so well. I found it absolutely fascinating. And you have described the events as they happened. I'm very familiar with the events because I've covered them myself. But I'm referring also to the various Mossad operations in New Zealand, Australia, and the Middle East. You also carefully followed all the milestones of Ben Ziegler's life in Israel. And please tell us about the process of writing. How did you weave the story together? Surely there were so many obstacles to find the truth.
Look, two things to say. Number one, I've got very good editors. Number two, this is an extremely traumatic experience for Ben's family. They've made it very clear to me that they don't want the book written. They would very much rather grieve in private. Suicide is always tough for any family. Suicide in the midst of spies and espionage and governments and global media attention is, I don't know how many times worse. As a result of that experience for the family, it made it very difficult for me to access personal details. There were very many people who were close to Ben who said, look, I'm happy to talk to you. Oh, actually, no, I can't because the family don't want me to. And there's a bit of that in the book. So that made it very difficult to... I wanted to reconstruct his character. I felt it was really important to explain to people in Prisoner X, listen, if you grow up Jewish in Melbourne, it's not so outlandish you go to Israel, join the army, as everyone does because it's conscription, and join Mossad. This is not so surprising. A large number of people who come from a country like Australia make Aliyah, they're there for a few years, they get approached by the Mossad. So to build up the picture of Ben the person, not so easy. So all of the quotes from his friends and his extended family are anonymous. Then I had to try and find out what I could from intelligence agencies. And I didn't want to get drawn into the bad blood between ASIO and Mossad. I still think there is a lot of bruised feelings between the two. They are allies. Australia and Israel are very close allies. There's no doubt about that. That doesn't mean it's all smooth sailing. Mossad still hasn't replaced its officer, its declared officer anyway, in the Canberra embassy. That officer was kicked out as a result of the Dubai assassination. One of the hardest things about the book is I got information from people in Australia and Israel who I would call, for lack of a better term, security sources. But there's a lot I cannot tell people about how I verified that information, what they told me. It was very much a process of, well, I believe 80% of what you're telling me is right. The reason I believe 80% of what you're telling me is right is that 4/5 of what you say checks out with 4 or 5 other people. And those 4 or 5 other people, you know what? I only believe 60% of what 2 of them are saying. So it was a lot of a process of filtering, cross-checking, and using bits of information that are not in the book, but using those bits of information as a way of verifying that who I was speaking to really were who they said they were and really were giving me as close to the version of the truth as I could get.
We are talking to Raphael Epstein. Raphael, I wanted to quote you Zadie Lawrence in his editorial article in the Australian Jewish News. He said, if this book had to come, it's a good thing that it came from Epstein. Thank you very much for your time and good luck with the book.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.